You are listening to KPOO, San Francisco, 89.5 FM. You are here on Reality Sandwich, served up every Thursday at noon for a palatable taste of the truth. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living.
And I'm Martin Matthews, a certified medical and clinical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living.
And today we have a great guest on. Martin, do you want to share some information?
Yeah, today, Julie, we're going to be speaking all about one of my favorite subjects, happiness. And one of your favorite subjects, and mine as well, of course, children. Today we have Penny Sempel.
You forgot health.
And health, yes.
Health
did
and
I,
happiness.
Did I not mention health?
You didn't mention that.
It's kind
I
of a default.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
You and I are Healthful Living, and today's show is all about health. And our guest's website, just to give you a sense here, her website is healthierhappierlife.com. So, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So today we have on the show Penny Sempel. She's a producer and creator of this Best of Broadway and Beyond series that we'll be speaking about, health series that we'll be speaking about today. She is a vocalist, and she's also an attorney. I guess we'll hear about that. But Penny is an integrative health professional. She specializes in research-based mind, body, and energy therapies, working in a pioneering collaboration with physicians and psychologists at a medical center here in San Francisco. She's authored publications and articles for medical and professional journals and regularly lectures at medical schools and for the public. And she presents the Best of Broadway and Beyond Health series, which consists of three audiobooks, CD, children, it's for children and parents, and it teaches listeners about health and wellness and music and fun and all kinds of just really empowering messages. And we're going to hear all about it today with Penny and learn so much more about health and wellness and teaching children. Let's see if Penny's on the line with us.
Hello.
Hey, Penny.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I think we should probably start at the beginning because I'm number one, we're really glad to have the opportunity to connect with you. When I first got this information handed to me about a month or so ago, I was just looking this over going, my goodness, we've got to chat with her. I mean, she's doing music and mind-body stuff and teaching kids, and it seems like you've been doing this for quite a long time, so I'm really honored to have a chance to connect with you. If you could, let's just start with the beginning and tell us a little bit about yourself and this and the health series.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you again for inviting me. Well, you know, I think our life's journeys are always very interesting. You know, the circles that our lives make through our experiences and our training and how we bring together the background, you know, that we've each had is always fascinating. And I think I look back on my life and say, wow, I've had traveled some interesting paths, and isn't it wonderful to be able to bring some of that knowledge and experience together? And my own background, I began as a student at UC Berkeley in psychology and migrated into teaching preschool while I was a professional dancer and singer, and then took a position at a behavioral medicine clinic. And this is back in the 70s when behavioral medicine itself was a whole new word and the whole idea that people could have any influence on their physiological functioning was itself considered very pioneering and very new agey, and you know, there was a look at the yogis and what they were able to do with blood pressure and heart rate and changing internal states that had been considered autonomic was all very, you know, pioneering and new. And we can say, looking back in time now, 20-25 years later, that some of these new practices back then are now considered part of standard medicine. So that's mm-hmm. kind of encouraging to see how there's been an enlightenment growth over the years. So I was very interested from early on and very intrigued by the process of how we find harmony and how we create balance. And I was also interested in the whole artistic world. I'd been in the arts, and I migrated into law, which might seem like a strange diversion. And I, for a number of years, I helped primarily creative people and nonprofit organizations in mediation. I kind of specialized in, well, how do we find harmony sort of between us, you know, in relationships, and how do we learn to communicate effectively so that we don't end up in, you know, lawsuits and these kinds of things. And but I guess my heart was pulling me back, and at some point in the mid-80s, I started my own personal training in the healing arts, and ultimately returned by the, you know, about 15 years ago, returned to the mind-body and healing art therapies, and that's a whole other story itself.
Wow. So you have a CD series. Why don't you just kind of give us, we're going to go a lot more into it. We're going to play some songs on the air. But why don't you just give us a brief overview?
Okay, I will. The Best of Broadway and Beyond Health series is, as you mentioned, a three-part audio series. And this arose out of the work that I have been doing in the wellness field over the at Cal Pacific Medical Center, which is where Gerald Mitchell and I are in practice. And taking a look at, okay, we know children love music. They love songs. There are great songs out there. But how can we, you know, bring about a connection between these ideas out there alternative medicine, complementary medicine? How do we bring some of these ideas for kids? So our first tape, first CD on here is called Fun Time, Relax Time. That has a focus on health and introducing that whole idea that fun and relaxation are important to our health. And how do we explore our world? Just the perception of looking at ourselves as a child and helping reframe a child and a parent's way of seeing themselves in the world and become a participant in learning about that which helps them explore their world. Well, your five senses are one way to do that. How do we then interact with our world and what are the effects of what we put into our body, like food and vitamins,
right,
and exploring sleep? And then this first CD really introduces to the child that awareness of the idea that wellness is more than just not being sick. Wellness is, you know, about our health, is about our physical, mental, emotional, and physical well-being.
My goodness, and so important to teach that at, you know, as early as possible in life.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we children are sponges, and they learn so quickly. And when I was, you know, back when I was teaching preschool and in my private practice now, I work with children a lot, and kids get it. And they like learning simple methods for reducing their stress, for becoming aware of their body, and they get it. They get it right away. So methods like, you know, visualization and hands-on approaches to, you know, from the acupressure discipline and energy medicine modalities, kids get this. So we've incorporated in all three of the CDs and in Fun Time, Relax Time some meditation, relaxation exercises kids can do, as well as about 10 great songs that they can sing along with that further the themes, and then this dialogue. And I haven't mentioned it, but we did these series like a radio show, like a radio talk show. So Gerald is DJG, and the kids call in, and these children are children who are our own students and clients, and they volunteered and wanted to do this, and they participate as a radio show, posing questions, having active dialogue, and then going on. And then our second one, we have two more, and I'll just briefly mention them now. Best Things in Life Are Free. The focus is on happiness. And exactly on the title, you know, exploring the world and what are the best things in life that you can't buy with any amount of money, and how do we develop happiness? And this one kind of comes out of the field of positive psychology and as well as traditional healing arts. And again, here we teach some meditation practices and mind focusing, mind calming practices, and activities that help generate our level of build our level of happiness. And the last one, Love Songs for Our Children, is a focus on relationships, which, you know, social well-being. You can see that world there. And, of course, social well-being also involves communication and understanding the importance of community and family and how do we resolve conflicts. You know, what's involved in talking with someone about our feelings? And so their whole kind of world of the love relationships and some of the skills we need to learn to maintain close relationships are developed in that series, along with, again, you know, 10 wonderful songs, Stephen Sondheim, Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, bringing in some of these great old songs that have messages that help us think about and sing along with, so that kind of deepens the learning experience. And so that's a summary of the three.
It seems like you created some of these songs, and some of these songs are other artists, correct?
That's right. There's an original song on here that I wrote, Happiness is a Thing Within. And then I brought in a lot of wonderful songs by some of the, you know, great American, and there's a French composer, too. Composers from the last 100 years. So there's a lot of material here that's not normally done for kids.
So when we're listening to, we have one of the songs queued up here. Is the learning in the song? Is the song the song, or is the learning kind of within the whole context of the CD when you listen to it? I'm trying to get a sense. I mean, we're going to listen to it in just a moment. So
right, as we're doing it in a radio show format, we have that kind of content is presented in a dialogue, that's a spoken word part, but then the songs are selected because they carry forth a concept that's important in the educational process. So the songs, like When a Red, Red Robin Comes Bob, Bob, Bobbing Along, is a great old song, Live, Love, Laugh, and Be Happy, and that song carries with it some themes that we were dealing with on that, in that track.
So should we play the first song, or?
Go, sure.
All right.
Is there a lead-in necessary?
I have queued up right now Sunshine Cake. Do we want to start there, or?
No, you can. That's fine. Is that from Volume 1, Fun Time Relax?
It is.
Okay, well then, you're going to hear DJG. If you start right at the beginning of the track, you'll see how we bring in some of the narrative. You'll get a real example for how we weave these together, the spoken word and the music.
All right, great. And Gerald couldn't be with us today, but I was reading the back of your CD, and it's a great story. Gerald Mitchell, BS and MBA, brings his warm laugh and love of everything healthy to the recording studio as DJG. Gerald grew up in a supportive extended family and community in southern Georgia during the civil rights era. Because he always liked fruits and nuts more than greasy food, neighborhood kids started calling him Doc for short.
Yeah.
He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Nutrition and Fitness and moved to Texas to complete a graduate degree in Business Administration and began a career with UPS. He continued what would become more than 2 decades of study and practice in ancient healing arts and nutritional systems for health before joining Penny in her private practice in San Francisco. So he, it sounds like, couldn't be here today, but he is an active part and partner of this CD series, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
So let's give a listen to track one of the Best of Broadway and Beyond Health series, Volume 1 from Fun Time, Relax Time. This is Sunshine Cake.
This is DJG from the Best of Broadway and Beyond. Here we go. Our studio guest is Penny Simpel. Welcome, Penny.
Thank you for inviting me.
Our special question for the day is, what do fun and relaxation have to do with feeling healthy? We have Luca on the line. How are you feeling today?
Hi. I can't concentrate on my homework. I just don't have any energy and my stomach hurts.
That doesn't sound like much fun. Penny, I think Luca needs some of your sunshine cake. Get your spoons, bowls, and your imaginations ready.
More good than a big thick steak. Start with a tablespoon of trouble, then add a smile and let it bubble up. We ought to bake a sunshine cake. It isn't really so hard to make. Fresh tears, a pound or two of pleasure, kind words, you needn't use a measure cup. It's not from a recipe book, you don't have to be a good cook or run to the oven and look. With such a simple dish, all you do is wish, so why not bake a sunshine cake? Of course, it may keep your dreams awake. Friends say there's nothing like the flavor. Don't wait to do your friends a favor and forget. Tell me what goes into a sunshine cake. Start with
a tablespoon of trouble.
Then add
a smile and let it bubble up.
We ought to bake a sunshine cake. It isn't really so hard to make.
Fresh tears, a pound or two of pleasure. Kind words, you need to use a measure cup.
It's not from a recipe book.
Let's bake a sunshine cake.
It's got vitamins A, vitamins B, vitamins L.
We are back.
Yeah.
Well, you can't help but smile after that one.
Yeah, isn't that fun? That one was first sung by Bing Crosby. And actually, he's the only person who's ever recorded it before this recording. So that's a little gem from Broadway.
Wow.
Actually, boy, Hollywood. It was from a Hollywood film. So, yeah.
Boy, just listening to that takes me back to being like 6 or 7 years old, dancing around the house. And it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, and you can convey, you know, in this, like in this song, you can convey ideas, you can start making something yourself, you can, it starts planting that seed, not only for the food you put together, which then it goes on, and as that track goes on, it talks about junk food and how you can just say no to junk food and putting importance of vitamins, importance of vitamin D and sunshine and sleep kind of gets, and kids start getting, hey, I can start putting things together, getting those concepts going about control in your life, that you can start learning how to ask questions. And then as that CD goes on, there's opportunities where kids learn how they can go along. You know, they can go along with mom at the store, start learning to ask questions about what's in the food that they eat. And you're just becoming empowered about the aspects of their life that affect their health. So, that's a fun song.
So how is this mostly getting out to kids, and what kind of response is there? I mean, I know you've been doing this for quite a while. You must get feedback from parents who, you know, sit their kids down, or do kids initiate putting in a disc, or how does this actually end up playing out on the front lines?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, actually, these are new releases. These were released in August of this year, so they're just are coming out, and we've received a couple of wonderful awards. The Dr. Toy Guide, which is a group of experts who review CDs, have awarded the 100 best children's products for 2008 and in the 10 best socially responsible products, and it just got a seal of approval from the National Parenting Center. Mm. So we're starting to get that kind of recognition through people who do testing of products for children. And, of course, we're getting reviews from teachers and psychologists, and they've been getting a lot of positive feedback there. And then you work on distribution, and we've been fortunate enough to develop some distributors who are in the educational and retail market for parents. So we're starting to see it get into the hands of the public and into libraries and classrooms, where we've also developed a extensive curriculum series for this that for teachers to use in health units, and covering, you know, again, the spectrum of health as it's defined by California Board of Education. You may not know this. I was surprised to see it myself. They have defined health as a complete state of physical, mental, and social well-being, and have recently enacted a new standards for health curriculum, making health curriculum on a par with math and science. And so that happened after I started working on these series, but I myself, taking a look out there and talking to teachers, saw that there was very little available. You know, we would do our work with our patients one-on-one. We'd see our clients, whether they were children or adults, with whatever was going on for them, whether it was asthma or pain or fatigue or depression or the various kinds of conditions that would bring people from their doctor's office to our office. And I would started to explore, well, what tools are out there? You know, what is available that I can recommend that young children use at home that helps in a fun and engaging way teach some of these concepts of whole person wellness? And that's really what inspired me to do it, was, you know, being a practitioner, a therapist working one-on-one, where you have that person, but you want to empower people with tools that they can take home. So we hope that this fills a niche that, you know, a need that's out there. And from what we hear back from teachers, it does. And so we're happy about that.
Great. I had a question and I forgot it.
Well, certainly, you know, if... It's encouraging, number one, that the state of California is getting hip to the importance of health education, right?
Yeah.
As much as, you know, math and science and all these other factors. And that there seems to have been, as they're doing that, you're helping to identify here, that there has been a gap, kind of in, okay, well, now that we're bringing this more to the forefront, and I think all of us societally are realizing that it's tremendously important, you know, what tools do we have to be teaching this in a really, you know, personally empowering way, instead of just, you know, cerebrally dumping of information, which has never really been that effective. But
well, you know, and you're right on there, Martin, that the what they have found, there's been health education out there for quite a while, but what they've found in doing studies is that educating and giving information is not bringing about the results in terms of children's behavioral changes around health, and that they that you know, we, just as you also said, empowering is the key. How can children learn skills that to apply knowledge to their daily life? And one of the things that when I returned 15 years ago to the mind-body field, I focused on modalities that are become self-empowering, where you really learn self-care skills. You learn how to reduce your own stress, or how to influence and reduce pain or increase energy if you're fatigued. How can we become not dependent on either, you know, a practitioner or somebody else, a pill, a something that we take? How can we learn to, you know, acquire skills? And if, you know, the field of health, to be healthy is not a, it's not so simple. There are actually so many facets of our life that influence our health, and many skills within each one of those areas. And because we can't always be, you know, we can't all be experts in all things, one of the focuses I tried to make in the series, and the same that we do, that Gerald and I do in our practice working with individuals, is how can we learn the skills that are important for us, and how can we then learn how to find out about what we don't know, so when we need it. So there's a body of skills you can learn that will help you today, and if something else comes up, there comes to mind some resources that I can go to. You know, this kind of a practitioner or this kind of a reference book, or might be able to give me more knowledge and insight when I need it for that area, you know, and thinking more preventatively, you know, when I start to notice things happening, what might I do to start taking better care of myself? How can I learn more? So that's a focus that we have too, is towards that empowering today, and also in a sense of awareness about how to learn more, you know, since we can't keep it all in our head at all times.
Mm-hmm. Right? You're a practitioner. Tell us more about what you do in your private practice. It sounds like you work with kids and adults.
Yes, we do. We do. We're at 2100 Webster Street in San Francisco, which is the Pacific Professional Building that's connected to the Cal Pacific Medical Center. And we were actually invited to join a group of physicians a number of years ago who were progressively minded. They wanted to offer integrative health services for their clients. And, you know, they could see that just doling out the pills was not the way to really get at the source. And I had come to specialize in what is the ancient art of the art of happiness, actually. It was called, now in modern times, known as Jinshin Jitsu, which that's Japanese words, and the characters mean the art of the creator or creative force in the person of compassion. It stands for the ability that we all have to help ourselves and help others through touch. And touch, we all know, is the oldest form of medicine, and a great deal was known in ancient times, passed on orally and in writing, about how touch can, and we think of acupressure today, or massage and other Reiki, other touch modalities, and Jinshin Jitsu is probably, it's considered like the grandfather of modern day acupuncture and acupressure. It's sort of the big body of knowledge of the meridian system, and I kind of backtrack there. There's a concept that we are energetic beings, and science would confirm that. I mean, from our atom and these cells that form, we are energy, and there's that concept in many of the traditional healing arts as how is our energetic nature disharmonized by lifestyle and by attitudes and by environmental circumstances and even hereditary predispositions. How can we interface our system, our deep energetic system, to help that beautiful organization return to and protect it? You know, how does it get off track? How can it get back on track? And another way of saying that is, how does it become disharmonized? How does it become harmonized? And I've shared with you how my fascination with that topic has been lifelong. And when I was introduced, I was actually introduced to the art of Jin Shin Jitsu many years after I'd been in the mind-body field, and I had never heard of it. I was doing what I like to do for fun. I had a lead role in musical theater production, and fell on dress rehearsal night and broke numerous bones and in my many ribs and tore a lot of muscles. And the show must go on. We had 20 sold-out performances. They didn't have an understudy for me. There was no time to, you know, train somebody. It was the night before opening night. So I was searching for what to do. I mean, I was in terrible pain, and I had two little babies at home, and I found I was pregnant with my third child. So Western medicine couldn't offer me anything, because the painkillers would have been, you know, harmful for the fetus. So someone said, I tried acupuncture. I tried these other things. They weren't really helping. Someone said, try Jin Shin Jitsu. I said, what is that? You know, I've been in the mind-body field for a decade. I've never heard of this. And there was a master, a woman in her late 70s in San Francisco, and I went for a session or two, and my pain ended. And I thought, well, that was a fluke. It couldn't be. That just simply gentle touch on the body could influence wellness. But it did, and I ended up liking it so much that I started sending people from the clinic where I had been affiliated, and they, whether it was sciatic pain or hair falling out, whatever seemed to be going on for the person that wasn't turning around, I started to see that when they started receiving some energetic support, they started to make progress in the correct direction, and often dynamic progress. And that intrigued me enough to say, hey, I'm going to learn this for family and friends. And never with never the intention that it would be my life's work. And so I, you know, that's how it started back in, this is the mid-80s. And that's why I, you know, spent the years with my training and then said, I love this. This is what I'm going to do. So I integrate that with, you know, visualization and massage and other work that seems appropriate. And Gerald's more, you know, helping people understand whether they need nutritional support. So we often triage. You know, we'll often be the person who helps people say, you know, you might really want to consult with a nutritionist on this, or have you thought about working with a family therapist on this? You know, we help people put together that package of providers, of caregivers who can help educate them on what they need to know, as well as doing treatments ourselves that are, again, oriented towards self-help. You know, we'll always finish a session with helping people on, and here are points you can touch to help harmonize, you know, this system in your body, or to help your mind to quiet at night. Here are some, this knowledge is available for you right here today.
So you work with both children and adults, but you did the CDs for children, and I'm just curious. I mean, in some ways this question is obvious, but I want to know from your perspective, well, why did you choose at this point to make this CD for kids?
That's a good question. Well, I do feel that children learn really fast, and that they can absorb the information. And really, these CDs are written for parents also. There's a lot of rich information in here. So parents and children working together can start making family changes within the home. And I do have some. My next series are for just adults, so that's coming. But I felt I wanted to start where the education is likely to be readily received, and where children in classrooms and at home can start getting these ideas along with their parents. Part of picking this music, these kinds of songs, is because adults like to hear them too, and then everybody's hearing these concepts, and everybody's kind of learning exercises and activities they can do to help themselves.
You know, what's coming to my mind, I'm just sitting here having this discussion, and I keep thinking about all the childhood disorders that have been increasing so much in the past number of years, particularly ADHD, being diagnosed and identified in children so young. And then I'm here listening to some songs that are meant to help teach kids about, you know, their own health or calming themselves down, their own techniques. Any connections here that may be helpful for them?
You mean in terms of self-help skills, that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Yeah, that's there's so much out there. One of the I don't know if you might be interested in playing one of the tracks, if you, we
sure.
could do that later or now. But in one of the I think it's volume 3, track 5, there's it kind of gets into, you know, what do we do when we're feeling worried and scared?
Mm.
Well, how can we help ourselves? And there's a little introduction, then a song, which you can kind of just give a, you know, we might listen to a little bit of it. And right after the song, there's one of my very favorite, which we teach our clients regularly in our practice, comes from the finger mudras, the use of the fingers to help harmonize the whole body. Many of us know, have heard of reflexology, the concept that the meridian systems in the body have correlates on the feet, that when they're touched and massaged, it can really help harmonize our energetic nature and feels good. And anybody who's had a reflexology massage has probably loved it. Well, those same points also exist on the fingers and the hands, and we have our hands handy all the time. So that's I can either walk it through now, or if you want to put on the track, we can kind of hear it a bit. So you can play a little bit of the song if you want, and then right after the song comes up a description of the kind of a walkthrough for our listeners of this self-help practice that we teach all the time, and we do a practice ourselves.
Well, let's definitely start the track, and perhaps we'll maybe fade out at some point. Maybe then you can take us through it, perhaps live.
Absolutely.
Sure. So this is again a quick introduction. This is a track for dealing with. Helping children learn to deal with stress and worry, was that right?
That's right.
Okay.
And it's called Not While I'm Around, is that it?
Not While I'm Around is a song, and you might want to just, you know, you can fade out on that, and then I can teach the
okay.
practice.
So just start with the beginning of the track then until the song kind
just
of comes
Just at the
in.
Beginning of the track. It'll give a little introduction.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Relationship. Each person gives and receives support from the other. Let's say you're feeling worried or afraid.
Ben, can you think back on a time when you felt afraid?
Yeah, a few times. Like one time the power went out in our neighborhood. I was upstairs. It was really dark and I was really scared.
What helped you feel safe again?
When I feel worried and scared about something, I feel a lot better when one of my parents is nearby. Just being together helps me feel safer. We don't even need to be talking.
Just sitting quietly together or holding hands can be comforting.
Learning how to calm our emotions ourselves and learning how to relax naturally are important skills that help our health and our relationships with others. There are many ways to do this, but like learning to ride a bike, we need practice. Right in your own hands and with your own breath, you have tools to help you relax and calm your emotions, like fear and worry. Would you like to learn what you can do yourself?
Sure.
It's easy. Sit down or lie down. You know how babies put their thumb in their mouth when they're worried? Don't worry, we're not going to do that. What we are going to do is wrap all the fingers of your left hand, like a little blanket, around your right thumb. Gently hold the thumb. Now exhale. That means let your air out. Inhale normally. That means breathe in new air. Listen to your breath. Just breathe normally.
How long do I hold my thumb?
Oh, a couple of minutes is fine, like the time it takes to listen to a song. Notice if this helps you get rid of worry fast.
Okay, so tell us more.
Okay, so there you start the finger, the thumb. The fingers around the thumb is an ancient practice for helping to harmonize the emotion of worry. And this comes from the broader concept that our attitudes are in what's sometimes called negative emotions or toxic emotions play a very big role in our health and our happiness. And the thumb of worry, the thumb finger, to help harmonize worry, and holding that is like making a little energetic circuit for yourself, you know, by wrapping those fingers of one hand around the thumb, and just being there for a couple of minutes can be surprisingly helpful. And then the other fingers are also helpers. Now this, I'll kind of go through those. Get rid of worry fast. Well, that's like a little quick way of remembering how the attitudes are helped with the fingers. By holding the fingers one at a time, thumb worry, fear is the point, helped harmonize by holding the pointer finger, anger, sadness, and trying to. So that's your five fingers. And this is in the physio-philosophy of Jin Shin Jitsu, this sort of old ancient body of knowledge. This is a philosophy. We don't have scientific evidence on this yet, but the practices of utilizing the fingers in different poses is a very important part of many meditation practices. And this concept of helping anger, fear, anger, sadness, trying to, we often, that's one that many people don't think that should be a burden. You know, they think trying to, that's a good thing. But actually trying to or efforting are also considered in older healing arts to be a burden on us, a kind of internal pressure that we put on ourselves, rather than the concept that we learn in many meditation practices of being in the moment, being in a place where you take action toward creating opportunities, of permitting the space in your life for things to happen rather than trying to make them happen. So it's these concepts really tie very well together with many of the sound practices through mindfulness meditation, that in affirmations and those kinds of things to help us be in the moment. But it has simply any time, anywhere, taking the children love this as well as adults. You know, when they're sitting, you know, just lying in bed at night, ready to go to sleep, and hold a finger. And it's really surprising to see how people will come and into my office and they may have headaches or issues of discomfort, and they will be holding naturally the finger that would help that physiological system. The fingers also relate to the physiological and the emotional and physical systems. And they'll be naturally holding those points. And I think that speaks to another part of what healing arts brings to Western medicine, is the concept that there is a deep wisdom we have about how to build our body and how to take care of our body, and that the stresses of everyday life cause disruptions in that and also seem to block access to our deeper wisdom. So sometimes these very simple steps, like being present with the breath and holding the fingers, can help us to get in touch again with, or just give it just enough calm in our system that our innate knowledge of how to help ourselves to heal will start to come forth.
So I think I missed a finger. So I've got four fingers so far. So I have worry, fear, anger, trying to.
There's worry, fear, anger, sadness, and trying to. That's the fast. Get rid of worry fast. And that's a good motto for stress, too, because there's now a massive body of awareness of the impact, the negative impact of stress and chronic stress on the body. Stress is a reaction, right, of the body to the environment and to things that are going on in our environment, our world, both external and internal, and stress is a reaction. And in the short term, you know, that stress reaction can get us out of a jam. You know, it can, under a true trauma, you know, the bear is after us, that stress response can really get us out of the way of danger. But we live in a world where there are a lot of levels of stress and not the means of really discharging all that, the hormonal surge and all the changes that happen in the body. And, you know, you mentioned earlier some of the increases of disorders that we're seeing. And there's a stress component to, I've seen a study, it's something like 90% of conditions that come into doctor's office have a stress component. So that getting rid of worry fast is really important. You know, how can we observe ourselves, we learn to perceive ourselves. That's what we're helping children to do here in the CD series. How can we start looking at how we feel? you know, not emotionally and physically and socially. How do we feel, and what steps can we start to take? You know, one step at a time. What steps can we take?
Well, the real crux here is engaging the self in the healing equation. And to be able to get that across to children in fun and inviting ways really early on is, like, mm-hmm. I mean, all powerful and all empowering, I would think, for a lifetime. Because, you know, stress, we talk about stress, you know, it's 90% you know, affecting all illness, right? And if we didn't have any stress in the world, we'd all be okay. But we do have stress, and stress is a constriction and an inhibiting factor. And the real challenge to humans comes when we're powerless to it, mm-hmm. and we feel completely at the whim of what's going on in our environment and all this stress. And it's these the relearning of the fact that ourselves, you know, we are involved in this healing equation through so many things that we can do personally. And I love the fact that we can teach it to kids in a fun way. Julie, you have a comment?
I just had one last question. You know, you were showing the thumb, and you were mentioning babies that suck their thumb, or even kids that do. I'm just really curious, before we go on to the third song we're going to do here, is there any evidence or anything about kids that suck their thumb? They're more worried children than others, or is that?
Well, I don't know about that, but there's evidence that children are attempting to calm themselves. Mm. See, we would say one thing I like about the use of the touch is that you're helping to harmonize. So we might say the baby who's sucking their thumb is seeking to help calm themselves. They're seeking to, so they may not be more worried because they're actually calming themselves.
Right,
they may
perceive,
you know, mom's away, where is she? But I'd have to do a little bit of digging around to see research connected to that. I'm sharing sort of the traditional healing art concept on that.
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, there's kids that suck their thumb until they're 4 or 5, and then it becomes this big deal that you have to get past it before you go to school because people don't want to think you're a baby. You know what I mean? So I'm just curious, you know. It's interesting to kind of look into that and see,
exactly. Well,
components.
And my question would be looking at it, it would be, this is interesting. This child is attempting to help calm themselves. Let's look at their lifestyle and the environment to see what might be promoting that response. And then there is also just like in physical therapists work with people who have developed physical habits of abnormality that kind of then skew the body one way or the other, and they need help correcting that. So I think energetically, when we attempt to compensate for stressors in our life, things can become a habit too.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's long past the stressor, but it's a habit that now the child has associated with a way to calm themselves.
Mm.
And so we can, you know, so when I see things like that, I say, well, that's interesting. Let's
mm-hmm.
take a look at, you know, what's going on in the whole life and how might we start to influence some of those other factors in the bigger lifestyle picture that might be triggering a need to help harmonize oneself.
Sure.
Right. So, Penny, we have about 10 minutes left. I wanted to be sure to ask you, I know that you mentioned to me on the phone the other day that you had presented just recently at a happiness conference here in San Francisco.
Well, I actually attended and participated as in helping to organize it, the happiness, the health and happiness, that was called Happiness and Its Causes. And it was put on by a local Tibetan Buddhist center and brought together fabulous speakers from around the country on the topic. Many professors and scientists from Stanford and Berkeley and other parts of the country who are investigating the science of happiness. And I have been asked to be on a speaker next year. So that will be wonderful. And this conference, I guess, has been given in Australia. It's been very successful there, and there was a great attendance. I think over 400 or 500 people came, and from many walks of life, to hear what the scientists had to say.
And the key to happiness is?
Well, I think, you know, one thing is perception. That, you know, that kind of starts with how do we see our world. And happiness itself stands for, and Paul Ekman's work is fabulous in this. You know, our listeners can You'll find a wealth of wonderful reading in Paul Ekman and Seligman. I'll speak a little bit on him, but Paul Ekman, who is actually a personal friend of mine, and he's considered the leading guy in identifying emotions and in happiness. He has a wonderful CD out with conversations with Daniel Goldman, who's one of the leaders in emotional intelligence. And there's another book that Paul's done about why kids lie. And he's developed modalities for helping us to see emotions, how we read emotions nonverbally. But anyway, Paul got up and spoke, and he, and that, by the way, Ekman is E-K-M-I-N for listeners wanting to find some of his wonderful books. He talked about happiness being, there's many, many different emotions that fall under that word, and there's a lot of different ways to define happiness, anywhere from contentment to, you know, ecstasy. The happiness is kind of a broad word that has different meanings at different levels of cognition. But one of the things that the different speakers were bringing out was that, first, happiness can be, we can change our level of happiness. And that's some of the most exciting work that's come out of, started with Seligman. Dr. Seligman was the president of the American Psychological Association, I believe.
One of Martin's favorites, I have to say.
Right. And he really said, you know, hey, we've been studying mental illness for, you know, 1,000 years. How about if we study happy people and why they are happy? And how, can they be happier? And can you change that? Are you just born with it? Is it your life circumstances? Is it just luck? And, in fact, and so that has led to a surge in this new field of positive psychology. And, you know, there are some specific things that can be done to increase happiness levels. And we've included some of those activities in our CD series for children. I'll mention one of them. One of them is keeping a happiness journal of list of every week, once a week, writing down three things for which you're grateful. Three things for which you're happy, you feel happy, from small things to big things. It could be, you know, feeling thankful for that person who lets you in front of them in line in the store. It can be something, and to be as detailed as you can when you write those down, and just do that. And some long-term studies have found that not only elevates an internal sense of happiness, that once a week taking time to write down three things can help in the short run, but it's also lasting. And so many of the presenters at the Happiness and Causes Conference were talking about some of the different research and the findings, you know, in happiness and cross-cultural and historical, which I'll mention because I found this really interesting. There was a speaker on the history of happiness. And happiness actually is the idea that we have a right to be happy or that we even feel depressed if we're not happy, that we should be happy, which is a very modern concept, that we should be happy, and some depression is related to a feeling that I'm not happy, something's wrong with me. This is a very new concept, and actually the founders of our country were breaking away when they wrote in our Constitution the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This was a radical idea, because prior to that time, happiness was seen as luck. You might have happiness if you were lucky. And in fact, the German word for happiness is related to luck, and happy itself is like happenstance. It's like from the word chance or luck. And so the notion that, no, it isn't just luck. You have the right to pursue it. This was a very big concept that we don't talk too much about in terms of, you know, the foresight of our forefathers in this country. But that concept of, yes, you can change. You can change your internal experience of life and your sense of happiness, and that there's no age range for that. You know, children and adults, we can all make an impact in that. So I think we're going to start to see some very exciting publications coming out. There are books out now, and that many of them cover kind of the research in this field, but I think we're going to start to see more. But there's another site I like to suggest to your readers, Greater Good Magazine.
Okay.
And that's out of UC Berkeley. It's a wonderful journal that I've recently come across, actually, and had a chance to hear some of the people who've created it. And they have pulled together concepts of, you know, happiness and influencing one's life. And it's a good journal.
Well, this has been delightful, Penny. I'm so glad you could join us today. I mean, I'm just speaking on my favorite subject of happiness and health. And we've been speaking today with Penny Simpel. She is the producer and creator of the Best of Broadway and Beyond Health series.
You can find out more information about her at healthierhappierlife.com. And how can people find your CDs?
Well, they can find them on the website, on healthierhappierlife.com. We have a secure purchasing options there, and they're also available through Amazon, and we're putting together our distributors. As I said, those are all in the educational library market, so I think going to the websites where we'll keep you updated on where you can buy it locally, and we're happy to have people, you know, check out our new releases. There are audio samples on the website so people can take a listen, and it's a great gift for a teacher too with the teacher instructional guide that we offer. So the website's probably the best place, and then it'll be expanding distribution into your local bookstores and CD stores and as time goes on.
Great. And before, as we leave here, we'd like to play the last song as a just an ending musical break. And I wanted to just have you give us a little idea of what we're going to listen to on our way out here. We have Happiness is a Thing Within queued up. What can you tell us about it?
This came from my observations of working with children, having them say, "She made me mad," or "He made me mad." And it isn't just children who say that kind of thing, too. We all know grown-ups, like, "You made me so..." This is coming from, hey, where does happiness really come from? And what are some of the best things in life out there? So that's what this song's all about, and I wrote this song, and delighted that you're going to play it.
Wonderful. And Penny, before we end, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being with us today. It was really a pleasure, and good luck in all your work.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for sharing, Penny.
We have been listening to and talking to Penny Simpel with HealthierHappierLife.com, and we are now going to listen to Happiness is a Thing from Within. You have been listening to Julie and Martin Matthews here on Reality Sandwich Radio on 89.5 FM KPOO. You can find out more information about us at healthfulliving.org and nourishinghope.com.
And you can get this show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com. Thanks for listening.
There's actually a new type of science called positive psychology. These scientists study happiness.
That's a cool job, too.
Happiness researchers have found that people can help themselves to be happier. People often say, "She made me mad," or "That made me happy." But I got to thinking, do other people make my feelings, or do I make my feelings myself? I wrote a song about it.